Greetings to you once again, family. Thank you for joining us on our YouTube channel for this session this morning. We are into 3 weeks of our lockdown here in South Africa, and we still have another 2 weeks to go. So all meetings have been suspended until further notice. And I know that many of you are praying during this pandemic, as the world is gripped with so much of death and with sickness. But even as we are holding on to the Lord, we know that there are principles in scriptures that give us immunity to stay protected and to know that God is faithful to his children. I trust that you are encouraging yourself in the word, that you are praying, that you are staying steadfast, you are drawing close to the Lord and being intimate with him, even during this time as you have time with your family, with your spouse, a time to reflect and reset and reorder, and also to be refreshed, even though we are in isolation. In our previous session on the subject of Goshen, we have done 4 sessions now, and we have been using Goshen as a foundation to see how during the time of famine in Egypt and also during the time of the plagues, how the nation of Israel was protected, how they were preserved, how they were immunized. And they were located in a place called Goshen. And Goshen means drawing near to God. So when we are faced with crises like we are at the moment, we have to know that our safe place, our secret place, our shelter, our covering is learning how to be intimate with the Lord. We call this our abiding place, our dwelling place, our joining place, a place of being one with God. And because we are so busy in life, we often forget how important it is to remain devoted and to remain intimate with the Lord. Now that many of us are facing uncertainty, we are facing some decisions that we never thought we would have to make. Many of us have relied on our flesh. We have seen how the arm of flesh has failed us. But as the book of Psalms 20 encourages us that we should not put our trust in chariots, but our trust must be in the name of the Lord. We are rekindling a flame within us to trust the Lord again, to be near to the Lord and to become one with him. We have been examining the book of Genesis chapter 45 and chapter 46, and particularly in our last session, we looked at Genesis 46 verse number 3, where God said to Jacob as he visited him in a vision and said to him, go down to Egypt. And he said, there I will make a great nation of you. This promise was also made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. It was also again said to Jacob in the book of Genesis chapter 35, when God changed his name to Israel. And he said to him that I will make a great nation of you. Kings shall come from your loins. So Jacob went into Egypt together with his family. There were 70 in all. That included even Joseph and his sons. And when they settled in Goshen, we know that they were protected while the famine was there. And also, even later on, when a new Pharaoh rose up, they were even protected from the plagues. So Goshen is a place of drawing near. But the question we asked ourselves is, when God said to Jacob, I will make a great nation of you, we asked ourselves, what makes a great nation? And there were a few things that we covered in our previous session, which I will just recap very briefly. We said, number one, that a great nation knows how to hold fast to the Lord. Remember that the church is the royal priesthood. The church is a holy nation. The church is his generation. The church is a royal priesthood, and even as we hold fast to the Lord, this is what makes us a great nation. And we examined Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 3 to verse 10. Second is, we said, a great nation acts according to the statutes and the judgments of God. A great nation is wise and understanding. A great nation has God near to it, as the book of Deuteronomy 4 says. What great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? So a great nation knows that God is near to you. And even in our period where we feel like we are in so much of difficulty, and the period of isolation can make you very depressed and disconnected, but it is a time of knowing that God has not forsaken you, that He is with you, that God is near to you. Number five, we said a great nation takes heed and diligently keeps itself. A nation that watches over its affairs and knows how to carry itself. And lastly, a great nation teaches the next generation. And we said how this, during this period, you have ample time to be with your children, to learn with your children. And while they have to study the curriculum within their own country and the education system, but we need to also educate them in the laws and the ways of God, just as Daniel was when he went into exile. Because he was taught the laws of God, he refused the diet of the Babylonians, because he was trained in the ways of the Lord. So those were the six things that we covered about what is a great nation. Today we want to focus on the book of Genesis chapter 47 and verse number 1. And here we see how Jacob and his sons now come to Egypt, and they appear before Joseph, and Joseph is introducing them to Pharaoh. And remember that the location that they are going to be settled in Egypt is a place called Goshen. And we will get into more detail a little bit more this morning. So in Genesis 47, verse number 1, then Joseph went and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brothers, their flocks and their herds and all that they possess have come from the land of Canaan. Indeed, they are in the land of Goshen." Now immediately you will see that Jacob took his sons together with all their possessions, and they made a significant shift from the land of Canaan to the land of Goshen. Now let me put this in a perspective so that we can relate to it. When you look at Egypt, it is a picture, a metaphor, or it typifies the world system, which is a system of bondage, a system of slavery. And in the world, you have to know how to settle your family within the place called Goshen. So what is Goshen? It is a place of drawing near. It is a posture of hearing the voice of God, being intimate with God, joining ourselves to the Lord, understanding the ways of God, living lives that are pleasing to God, knowing the culture of God. So Goshen represents an order of life. It represents a way of living. It represents a different culture in the world. That is why we are in the world, but we are not of this world. It is the duty of every father to settle his family in Goshen. Remember that Joseph is a picture of Christ, and Christ is in our hearts. And Christ wants us to be intimate with Him and with the Father. And therefore, we need to know how to draw near to the Lord even while we are in Egypt. So while we are in the world, we must have an abiding relationship with the Lord. So that's what Goshen represents, and that's what Egypt represents. Even when the nation of Israel gathered in the wilderness, They were gathered in a very specific formation. They were gathered, three tribes on the north, the south, the east, and the west. And right in the center was the tabernacle of Moses. The Ark of the Covenant was there. And the two cherubims that were on the mercy seat in the Ark of the Covenant, the Bible says the Shekinah glory was there. And God said, said to Moses, "There I will speak to you." So right in the wilderness, the centrality, the focus, the focal point, that which was in the midst of the people of God, was the place where God would meet with them, the dwelling place, the tabernacle of God. Later on, Paul clarifies that we are now the tabernacle, we are the temple of God, we are the house of God. This is now God's dwelling place. And the reason that God made his dwelling place his people is because he wants to be intimate with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. So there must be a shift from the land of Canaan to the land of Goshen. Let me explain this. Canaan means merchandise or merchandiser or trader or trafficker. And the Canaanite spirit is one of merchandising and trading. It is the spirit of mammon that governs the world. You see, the world traffics people just like merchandise. People can easily be bought and sold like goods or tradable items. And how do we know that? We see that Joseph's brothers sold him for silver. They trafficked him. They traded with him. They sold him as merchandise. That's in Genesis chapter 37, verse number 25. So they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And when they saw the Ishmaelites, they sold him for silver. And in verse 28 of Genesis 37, the Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up, lifted him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. Now, what you can see is that all the brothers were governed by a Canaanite spirit of trading, merchandising, and trafficking. How often we who are sons of the kingdom, we are brothers who have one father over us all. When I say brothers, that includes all the ladies as well, the bride of Christ. We often are willing to trade our brothers through the spirit of the Canaanite. We are ready to traffic them according to this world. How do we do that? We take advantage. We charge usury or interest. And there were laws that governed how we relate to one another. And I want you to know that during a period of crisis, we should not be taking advantage of one another, but looking at how we can assist, how we can help, how we can develop the spirit, not of communism, but of commonism, where everyone shared everything to ensure that that each one was taken care of, as in the early church, in the book of Acts chapter 2 and also Acts chapter 4. Now, what you see is, when there is a shift from Canaan to Goshen, you see a shift in thinking, and this is typified by Joseph's actions, because in Genesis 45 verse 9, "Hurry up," Joseph said, "go to my father, and thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord over all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, all your flocks." And he says, "There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, since there are 5 years for the famine." So Goshen, which is a place of intimacy with God, is a place not of trading and trafficking, but it is a place of the Father's business. As citizens of the kingdom, we trade with the Word and the Spirit. And we can see here how Joseph now is taking care of his brothers, not trading or trafficking with them, but he's concerned about their well-being. He's using his influence to ensure that they are taken care of. Joseph is a picture of Christ, and the Spirit of Christ inside of us must begin to motivate us to take care of our brothers during a time of famine, as Joseph did. What he is demonstrating to us is that the Spirit of Goshen is different from the Spirit of Canaan, that the Spirit of God is different from the spirit of this world. We are not the sons of this age. We are not the sons of wickedness. We are the sons of light. We are the sons of day. We are the sons of God. We function by a different spirit. And I encourage you, brethren, take care of one another during this time. Don't let the Canaanite spirit come upon you to take advantage and to traffic your brother. But let the Spirit of God inside of you take care, allow you to take care and bear one another even during this time. Now, when Jacob came into Egypt together with his family, he came also with all their possessions and settled in Goshen. So our possessions includes all our material wealth, our assets, our cash, all the things that would give us prominence and give us the ability to trade in this world. But he brought all his possessions together with his family into Goshen. This simply means that when we draw near to God, we know how to wisely trade with our possessions in this world. It means that we know what is seed and what is bread. Goshen, which is a place of intimacy, drawing near with God, gives direction. It is a voice that gives direction to the management, to the stewardship, to the handling of our possessions and our wealth in Egypt. Isaiah 55 verse 10, it says, "As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." While we are in Goshen, a place of intimacy with God, place of isolation and abiding with God, we need to reevaluate the acquisition, the management of money and wealth. Economic crisis helps us to realize that we need several sources of income. Now, many people are faced with very difficult economic times because there's no income, they have much debt to pay, they are faced with overwhelming obligations that they have to meet, and in this time we realize that sometimes the source of income that we are relying on will not be able to carry us through our crises. We must understand where to invest and how we can reap where we have not sown. Intimacy with the Lord will lead you in your sowing and your reaping. Now let me use an example in the Bible from the book of Genesis chapter 26. This is the story of Isaac, who was living in Gerar under the governing authority of someone called Abimelech. And while he was in this land, there was a famine that was there. And God spoke to Isaac. That means Isaac was intimate with the Lord. The Lord appeared to him in Genesis 26 verse 2. And it says, the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all this land, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father." Basically, because of intimacy with the Lord, because of hearing the voice of God, Isaac was given a very specific instruction to stay in the land of Gerar. Now, while he was in this land, in verse 12, Isaac sowed in that land. That means when you are intimate with the Lord, when you are in a place of drawing near, you receive wisdom, insight, you receive direction to know where to sow. And yeah, Isaac sowed in this land and he reaped And the same year, he reaped a hundredfold and he became very prosperous. Now remember, we are the promised seed. Isaac is the promised seed. Isaac is the promised son. Christ was the promised son, and we are the seed in Christ, and we are also the promised son. We must know that when we are intimate with the Lord, we will receive direction on the management of our possessions. Right now we have to phone banks, we have to liaise with different people to negotiate our debt and to make payment arrangements, etc. And all that is necessary. It is showing that you are responsible. It is showing that you are someone that wants to pay your debt. And this is all understandable. But I present to you a situation in the scriptures that when we are in Goshen with all our possessions, what am I saying to you? That your possessions must come to a place of direction where you are led by the Spirit of God regarding the acquisition, the management, and the distribution of your wealth. This is a place where you would receive a clear word on how to manage wealth, governed by the principles of the scriptures and by the leading of the Holy Spirit. So, when you are in that place, you will find that even while there is famine, you will prosper. Just like Isaac, when he sowed, he was prospering and became so wealthy, even in the land of Gerar. I want to move to the next point because of time this morning. And in the book of Genesis chapter 47, verse number 2, it says Joseph took five men from among his brothers and he presented them to Pharaoh. So when Jacob and his sons came to Egypt and they were going to dwell in the land of Goshen, Joseph took five men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. Now I want to present this scenario in a way that we can understand it. Joseph is a picture of Christ because he was sold for silver. He was 30 years old when he came into power, just as Jesus was sold for silver, and he was 30 years old when he was declared the Son of God. Five is a biblical number of grace. We see in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 17 how David picked up five smooth stones from the brook. You will see how Moses, when he was building the tabernacle in Exodus 26, there were five curtains, five boards, five bars. In fact, the anointing oil was made with five specific ingredients. This is in Exodus chapter 30. And there's several other examples which we don't have time to get through this morning, of the number five in the Bible as a picture of grace. And even in Ephesians chapter 4, we see the grace of apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, who are fivefold grace that is given to equip, to train, to develop the saints of God in the body of Christ. Now, Joseph takes five of his brothers, this is a picture of grace, and presents them to Pharaoh. Now here's what I want you to receive in your spirit and understand this morning. That when you are in Goshen, when you are in Goshen as Joseph's brothers and his father was, there is a grace dimension that you receive that prepares you to stand before Pharaoh. Goshen prepares you to stand before rulers in this world. Nehemiah prepared himself before he stood before the king. As we read in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4 to 5, you will find also Esther was prepared before she stood before the king to make her request, which is in the book of Esther, chapter 5. Now, there's a time dawning upon the church, and we must use this period that has been given to us now to prepare ourselves, and I believe that this period will extend over a longer period, maybe not over a longer time, not so much about the lockdown, but how we beginning to see our relationship with God, how we are understanding our identity, because everything has stopped, everything has come to a standstill, everything is on hold, everything is on lockdown, for you to prepare yourself. And a time is dawning now where the church, which is a container of grace, as Joseph presented five brothers to Pharaoh, grace must be presented to the rulers of this time. They have no answers. The economic crisis, the employment rate, the sickness, the health system, the education system, every system you can think of is at a standstill. And grace must be presented to the pharaohs of our time, who cannot interpret the nightmares and their dreams that they are having. Christ will present grace that is in the church to the pharaohs of our time. Paul was chosen to bear the name of the Lord before Gentiles, before kings, and before the children of Israel. This is in Acts 9, verse 15 to 16, when God spoke to Ananias and said to him, that Paul is my chosen vessel and he will bear my name before the Gentiles and before kings. There must be an apostolic people. When I use the word apostolic, I'm simply talking a people that are sent, as Jesus said, go into all the world. It is ascending. There must be a people that can present grace, stand with divine wisdom and understanding before the kings of the earth. The place of preparation for that is Goshen. It is called drawing near to God, intimacy with the Lord, being joined to the Lord, and grace must stand before the rulers of Egypt. I know that the church is an agency of the kingdom. We are the sons of the kingdom, and we must prepare ourselves to stand before kings and to dispense grace to them. Just as Joseph chose five brothers, five is the number of grace, from his family. I shared with you how his family is a representation of the body of Christ. Joseph is the head. The body comes together, and how they are in the systems of this world called Egypt, but they have a specific location called Goshen, a place of drawing near, place of preparation, place of development, place of growth, so that they can be presented to Pharaoh. As Esther was prepared, as Paul was prepared to stand before kings, even as Daniel was prepared to stand before rulers of this age. I pray that even as you are listening to these sessions on Goshen, that a deep intimacy will grip your heart to fall in love with the Father again, to pursue God, to begin to become intimate, to know the heart of God, to develop a relationship with God, to hear his voice, to walk with him. God wants to walk with you in the cool of the day again. He wants to walk with you in the Spirit. We are the sons of God that are not just filled with the Spirit, but we must walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit of God. Even during this time, do not make rash decisions. Take time to listen to the inner voice that is inside of you. Take time to focus on the Word and receive direction from the Scriptures, because Goshen is that place that will present you before the pharaohs of our time. Many times there are situations that are beyond our control. We cannot in the natural take charge of them, but in the spirit, in the realm of the eternal, we serve a God of the eternal. We must let the eternal impress itself upon the natural. This is the right, the executive privilege of the sons of God. I pray that the grace, the metron of grace that is in your life will be developed to a scale where it will be presented to the pharaohs of our time. I encourage you to meditate on these few thoughts that I've shared with you today, as we will continue with more principles of Goshen over the next few weeks, even in the coming 2 weeks of the lockdown here in South Africa in particular. I pray that the Lord would continue to strengthen you, the Lord will continue to encourage you and lift you and exalt you. I pray that God will intervene in any difficult circumstance that you are having. And as I pray for you now, I know that some of you will be partaking of the table of the Lord. I want you to believe in your heart that God is going to intervene in your circumstance. And Father, I pray for the sons and daughters of the kingdom of God. I know, Father, that even as we look to you, you are not a God that forsakes us. You are a preserver. You are a God who helps. You are our protector. You intervene with divine impact in every circumstance. I pray for those that are facing so much of uncertainty, some that are very anxious. But today I say to them, be anxious for nothing. Do not worry, because God knows the very hair upon your head. He knows what you need before you even ask Him. May we, like Joseph, shift ourselves and our families into the land of Goshen. Shift our thinking from a Canaanite thinking to a Goshen thinking. May our intimacy with the Lord give us the answers we need. And today, as we gather with our families and partake of the table, I thank you that this is a table of victory, a table of grace, a table that is prepared in the midst of our enemies, table of fellowship, a table of remembrance, table of triumph, a table that reminds us that you have washed us from all our sin and made us the righteousness of God. It is also a table of the mercy of God, reminding us that we should be a people that forgive. And Lord, I pray that as we would partake of this table, as we break bread, as we partake of the cup, we will receive grace from the Lord Jesus Christ. May the grace of the Lord be upon every family. May the countenance of God be upon them. May the Lord make His face shine upon them. May the Lord give them rest and peace. May you come and visit them with dreams and visions, and visit them even as they read the word and even as they pray. I pray for times of refreshing to come from the presence of the Lord. I pray, Lord, that they would have divine encounters with you. I pray that there would be an impact in their lives. So I bless every family in the name of Jesus, and may the Lord strengthen and lift them up in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you. May the Lord be with you till we meet again. Amen.